Hello, so good to have you here today. Welcome to the fourth episode of the Selby series. Let's start becoming clearer, shall we? First, you need to settle down, get yourself comfortable in a chair or lay down on your bed. Do not close your eyes. This is not an hypnosis episode. I need your total attention, focus on everything I am going to say. Is your head comfortable there? Just move your arms and your legs around to get really comfortable. Yeah, that's right. Let's get into it. What is a need and what is a want of a submissive? It's certainly exciting and it is tough to want to be in some form of power exchange relationship. As a submissive for a placing with a dominant, a series of interactions or a longer term relationship, a major cause of failure in some encounters comes from the need of the parties not being met, either the submissive or the dominant. When the mistress and the submissive are on the same page, then it is the most wonderful experience for both. Oh, come on, Sobi, no distractions. Settle down now. Herein lies one of the most difficult discriminations that, as a lifestyle mistress, I must make during any mistress and submissive relationship with any of my submissives. The general agreement, according to my principles, is that, as a dominant, I am committed to meet the needs, that is, physical, psychological, emotional, all of my submissives. That is the limit of my requirement. The meeting of wants is at my sole discretion. You know, the trick lies in determining the difference between them accordingly. I solely wish I had an easy formula that would allow me and you as a submissive to determine what is a need and what is a want. But let's face it, all submissives are not the same, and their needs and wants differ as widely as their physical appearance. What appears on the outside to be a want can in reality be a psychological need and should be met if at all possible. On the other hand, conversely, a voiced need can just as easily be a want. Only through conversation, through learning, and the paying of careful attention to the submissive can the dominant begin to discern between the two and deal with both. Hope you're still with me, Sobi. I need you to stay focused. Some needs, the physical ones, are self-evident. That is, what the submissive must eat, what the submissive must clean, what the submissive must drink, must do whatever is necessary to maintain life. The submissive needs shelter, food, water, and yes, good clothing. These items are necessities and must be furnished by the dominant. To do otherwise would not be fulfilling the basic requirements of the dominant and submissive relationship, and would be a breach of our relationship. Some emotional needs are also clean to discern. All humans, regardless of their role in a mistress and submissive relationship, needs love and respect in some form. As a submissive, you need to have self-esteem and an awareness of how you fit in a BDSM relationship. You need to have responsibility in some form, and you need to meet expectations and have those expectations clearly stated and explained if necessary. All of these needs are common to all human relationships, be it a mistress and submissive or a vanilla type of relationship. Everyone craves love. Everyone craves respect, and everyone deserves to have a healthy self-esteem and awareness of themselves and their roles. Now, for the less evident needs, the psychological makeup of a human being is a labyrinth of tunnels and blind spots in clearly marked trails, leading sometimes somewhere and at others nowhere. I know a submissive that craves physical punishment. In the normal sense, or in the vernacular, he needs his ass beat and hard on a regular basis. And when it does not happen, he becomes recalcitrant and moody. Well, is this need a physical or psychological need? On the physical side, does a good spanking remove cellulite or something? I don't think so. Nor do I think that his pain receptors in the buttocks require fine tuning or exercise. This is purely psychological need. This is a part of his self-image, the one he carries inside his head, that tells him what a good submissive he is and what a good submissive provides to his mistress. If this need is not met, either in frequency or intensity, the need to meet his self-image is not being met, and he feels like he is failing in his role within the relationship and sometimes in life itself. This submissive must be paired with a dominant that understands this need of his and is willing and capable of meeting it. For him to find a mistress that cannot meet this need is going to lead to unhappiness on both sides of the coin. Are you still with me, Subby? Good. A dominant can be expected to modify the self-image of his or a submissive, and sometimes this is solely needed, especially if the self-image of the submissive is harmful or destructive to other people or themselves. These self-images must, in my opinion, be changed. But first, the dominant must achieve that level of trust and control to begin to modify the psyche of the submissive in a positive way. It is not an easy task, no. To modify years of self-training, especially if the self-training is a result of years of psychological abuse designed to erode the self-image of the submissive and break his will. But it can be done, and in my opinion, should be done. A lot of love, a lot of respect, a lot of attention to detail, and a lot of patience will be required, but a submissive with a strong and healthy self-image is a delight and well worth the effort. All of this discrimination between needs and wants is a part of the job of the mistress. You should know that dominants have needs of their own, and we will get to them in the next episode. Are you still very much relaxed and listening to me? Thank you. I'm a lifestyle dominant, and I have my own laundry list of needs that must be fulfilled if I am to be happy in my relationship. But right now, I am dealing with a submissive subject, and another need that I have seen over and over is the need to serve, to be of service to the dominant in the relationship. To be disallowed that service can be devastating to that person that needs to feel the weight of their service. This need can be easily met, but first must be recognized as a need by the dominant. I had to train myself to allow myself to be served. As a single female who has lived basically alone for so many years, I generally did things my way, and I've had a very set routine of the way things were done. I have also had to teach myself to sit back and relax and allow things to be done by my submissives or slaves, trusting them to accomplish what needed to be done without micromanaging. It was not very easy at first, but as time goes by, it has become more and more a part of my relationships, and I am beginning to enjoy the fruits of their labor. Are you still with me? Right. Another general need that I have identified among submissives is the need to progress. The need to grow in their roles, to be taken further along their road. This is a role the dominant must play in the relationship. A static relationship can be terribly destructive to both parties in a relationship, and it often leads to a dissolution of the relationship. Sometimes in a most acrimonious manner. Growth can take many forms and can involve many aspects of the BDSM relationship. In some areas like play, growth can lead to more and more strenuous play, with the submissive able to progressively enjoy harder and harder play, and the dominant to enjoy the same. Limits will be removed or strenuously explained during this growth, and both sides of the equation must grow equally, or at least strike a balance between them for the relationship to prosper. But growth is not limited to the play portion of the relationship. Growth can be in the areas of personal responsibility, or trust, or any other area within the relationship. I, for one, am in a growth phase, coming to terms with exactly what I want from any of my BDSM relationship, what I am willing to tolerate, and what my real expectations are. I am growing in the play portion of every of my relationship every time with a new submissive, experimenting with more and more edgy forms of play. Some of these new forms of play would involve a longer learning curve than others. But if I am to be successful in any and all of my relationships, I would have to first determine if the learning curve is longer than I am willing to endure, and whether or not I am comfortable with that mode of play. My latest submissive has just discovered the pleasures of whoring out, loaning out of submissives. And I loaned him to a fellow mistress that I trusted and admired. He requested the scene because he needed to be allowed to grow in that direction. In my opinion, the oaring out curve for this type of play is extended and begins with a major outlay for the mistresses or the bulls involved. After that, there is the learning of the proper and safe use of the submissive himself, and then learning, training, and even more training. I was initially afraid that at first his desire to experiment with whoring out like my other submissives would outstrip his place on the learning curve and away from time to time allow him to grow with other mistresses that I know I save an expert in the use of a loaned out submissive and cognizant of his learning curve as well. This is how I am going to grow myself, by watching and learning by introspection and by practice, just as I grew when I discovered fire play and needle play. My need in this area is growing and explore new things, just as his need to do the same, as my submissives need to do the same. Now let's talk about wants. Wants, in my opinion, my definition, are those things a dominant or a submissive feels would be an adjunct to their life. Food is a need. A chocolate with whipped cream and sprinkles surely classifies as food, but so does broccoli. Many things in our lives fall into those two categories. Sundays and broccoli. Some represent healthy nutrition for the body, while others offer something else. You can just remove a broccoli from the diet and you may get a temper tantrum, but the body will be nourished by the broccoli. Failure to meet a need can cause physical, emotional, or psychological damage where failure to grant a want will not. Are you beginning to see the difference? Well, not so fast, I guess. Needs can masquerade as wants and vice versa. Only through communication and intense study of the submissive can the dominant clearly see what represents a need in the submissive's life and what merely represents a want. Now, you tell me, as a submissive, do you have some special needs? I mean, need for feeling secure, a need for structure, a need for order, a need for correction, a need for discipline, a need for being of service, a need of being useful, in need of being valuable or making a contribution, in need of being found pleasing, I mean being approved of, in need of being controlled, contained, in need of being dominated, in need of being accepted, loved, cherished, intimacy, in need for affection, in need for being challenged, I mean in need for growth. Do you have any more that comes to mind? Let me know by sending me a message. So we have come to the end of the fourth episode of the Subby series. Don't expect that by listening to only Subby series or reading a few articles on the internet and then being able to call yourself a submissive. No matter how eager you are to learn and experiment, you won't become a submissive overnight. Becoming a true submissive takes a great deal of time and patience. In fact, many submissives can even go through a formal training period, which can take weeks, months, and even years. Don't forget to listen to the next episode of the Subby series. If you're a potential submissive in waiting, take your time to listen to all of the Sovi episodes. And if you have any questions, please reach out to me as soon as possible. Thank you so much and play safe.